I really wanted to be here with you today, and I had a small problem. My daughter Lydia graduated from college out in Colorado yesterday, and so I Googled it, and it's 13-hour driving, not including potty stops and meals along the way. And so, you know, how was I going to do that? Well, I'll tell you how I did that yesterday. I got into a time machine, and no kidding. It's a large metal tube. And the fact is that there were, some 200 other people in this. And it compressed that 13-hour travel time into an hour and 45 minutes. It is an amazing time machine. Compressed that travel time. And the other thing that's amazing about this particular time machine is that I did nothing. I did not have to do anything but get in it. And it whisked me amazingly to my destination in a fraction of the time it would have taken me and the effort that I would have had to put in to getting from Denver to here. So I am so thankful for that means of compressing time so I could be here with you today. And we've been talking about the means God uses in order to bring his gifts to us. And we talked about the means of the Word of God and how God conveys his grace and the gift of faith and salvation that comes with that through the Holy Scriptures. And the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God is a means, ways that God delivers that. And then we talked about the sacraments, baptism, Holy Communion, as a way that God conveys his grace to us, a means that God uses to give his grace to strengthen us in our faith or to bring us the gift of faith itself. Today we want to talk about another means God uses. I was able to use the means of that time machine. I guess you call it, what, an airplane? Is that what that was called? Big metal tube. And you don't do anything. In fact, you can't do much because you just sit in your seat and you really can't move much even. Some people slept, some people read. But you just have to sit there and allow this thing to do its work, right? And God uses amazing means. That's kind of how God uses the means of the Bible, of the sacraments, because he does something we can't do for ourselves. I couldn't have gotten here if I had to do it myself today. I wouldn't have been here this morning. God uses another means. God uses the work of his creation, and that includes mothers. God works through human individuals. He works through human beings to accomplish his purpose. And so today we're going to talk about the ministry of mothering. Mothering is one of the most important ministries that God has. And God is at work through the lives of those who are mothers or are doing the task of mothering. Now, as we come here today and hear that, we also know that it's a difficult day. Some have recently lost their moms, and we ask that God would be a comfort. And part of today is remembering all of the blessings that had come to us because of those. Sometimes it's a difficult day because maybe you haven't been able to be a mom and you wanted to be. And that this makes it a difficult day too. And again, the task of mothering isn't always the biological mother that makes that difference. It's who God uses to do his work through us to bless others. And sometimes it's difficult because we may be estranged from mothers. That's not been a very good relationship. And that's difficult for us. Sometimes it is difficult because, you know, maybe you as a mother have lost a child. And that's one of the greatest heartaches that anybody could ever go through. And so there are many bittersweet things about today. The blessing that God uses through mothers, but also the fact that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has disease and death and disappointments and difficulties. And so all of those, though, are things that God plans to use for our good and for his glory. So we're going to take a look today a little bit about this ministry of motherhood and how God uses and works through this wonderful institution called motherhood in order to accomplish his purpose. I want to go back and start with the first great commission. And what was that? It was a commission that God gave to every human being on the planet. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And the likeness of God is the attributes of God, not his eternal attributes of omniscience, knowing everything. You know, we're not going to be like God, and we're not made in his image in that way. We don't know everything. We don't have omnipotence. We're not all powerful. We don't have omnipresence, being everywhere at all times. No, we're not like God in his image in that way, but we reflect the image of God, the likeness of God, in his personal attributes, his personal characteristics of love and kindness and creativity and compassion and caring and nurturing. He's given us responsibility over this earth, and God plans to use us to care for this earth. He's the means God has used to carry out his purpose on this earth. And so it goes on to say, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." It was very good. God created this wonderful, good creation, and it was his plan to use his created beings to reflect his image, the personal attributes of God, of his love and kindness and caring and of creativity and of work and being able to accomplish things and have authority over and oversight of his creation. And he created us and gave us that great commission to do that. Now, the problem is, there's a little difficulty in there, is that God also gave the first human beings a choice. They could either choose to serve God and do all that he wanted them to do, or they could basically serve themselves and eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the question always arises in my mind, if all you ever knew was good, why would you want to know evil? Why would you want to have the knowledge of good and evil? And basically what that tree represented was that they wanted to take for themselves the right to call what they wanted to call good, good, and evil, evil. That they were now the authority over what is good and what is evil. And basically to usurp the place of God. And you know how well that has turned out. It's not turned out well. And disease and death and everything else that is destructive has come into play. But God is still at work, even in this broken, fallen world, to work through the means of the people he created to accomplish his purpose. And even those who don't know God, even those who don't recognize that they were created by him, still participate in this wonderful creation, and God is able to use even unbelievers to accomplish his purpose. Let me give you one little example of that, and that is, as God says in his word, that he is going to use even ungodly rulers to accomplish his purpose through government. Government is one of the things that God says that he will work through, and obviously there are some governments that aren't doing so well at that, but still God says in Romans 13 that even governmental authorities are his ministers, his servants, to do good. They may be failing at that task, but that's the task that God has given them.
So God can use even unbelievers to accomplish his purpose. Back in Isaiah 45, it says that God raised up a particular mighty king called Cyrus, and God did some great things through Cyrus, and it says, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who has called you, Cyrus, by name. I have also called you, and I have given you a title of honor, even though you have not known me. And so God can work in ways that we would think would be pretty impossible. I mean, how can God use an ungodly person to accomplish his godly purpose? But God is there. He's not frustrated by our failures. And maybe that's the first lesson to learn, is because even as government officials are ministers of God, certainly if they can be used by God to accomplish God's purpose, certainly God can and does work through mothers. God can and does work through mothers. And incidentally, when God is working through mothers, he's also working as you carry out your task. It's not an easy task. And so God's working in you. One person put it this way, I think God gave us children to teach us compassion and patience and long-suffering and perseverance, you know, all those things that come from being a mother. One mother tells about a time when her four-year-old son, Zachary, came screaming out of the bathroom to tell her that he dropped his toothbrush in the toilet. All right, one of those things that happens with four-year-olds, and, you know, they're beside themselves. She goes calmly, fishes the toothbrush out of the toilet, throws it in the garbage. And her son Zachary was watching her. Then he ran to her bathroom and grabbed her toothbrush. And he says, you know, Mom, you should throw this one out too, because I dropped this one in the toilet 2 days ago. Mothering is a great ministry, but it also ministers and shapes us. Because we have to rely on God to carry out his purposes. Now, God will accomplish his purposes even when we fail. Even when we fail in our task, because we live in a sinful, fallen world. We live in a world that we're not focused on God all the time. We're not always patient. We're not always kind. We're not always loving. But God is still using us and working through us. But he also gives us this promise. He also gives us this promise that he is there with us. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it was a wonderful picture of God, a picture of God's nurturing nature. He says that he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. And sometimes when I just feel like I'm spent, I just have nothing left to give. And sometimes I like to picture myself as that little lamb being held by Christ and held close to his heart. Ah, there's times, mothers, you know, you need just to be held close. But it gets better. It says, he carries these lambs close to his heart, and he gently leads those who have young. And so the ewes, the mother sheep, that have their young, he's saying he's gently leading you. He's there with you, leading you to green pastures and beside the still waters and restoring your soul too. And so God is there like a shepherd and gives a special promise to moms that he's there for you, with you. And so motherhood is one of the ministries, the callings, the vocations, as Martin Luther would call it, of God's means in this world to accomplish his purpose and to show the world his love and his caring and his kindness. And so when God wanted to express to his people back in the Old Testament through the prophet Isaiah, when God wanted to express to his people his never-failing love, his compassionate, caring, and nurturing nature, what image would God use to the prophet Isaiah to convey to his people that nature, that part of his image that we are to reflect? And so God chose the image of motherhood. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, and that verse is on the front of your bulletin, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Remember back in Genesis 1, it tells us that God created us in his image, male and female, he created them. And it takes both fatherly and motherly qualities to reflect the image of God. And it takes mothers to reflect that nurturing and compassionate and caring nature of God to the world. That's the calling of motherhood, to bring God's love and care and nurture to his creation. Of course, it's far better, and we're going to be far more successful in doing that when we recognize God's purpose, his calling, his commandment, his commissioning to us to be the vehicles of God's love and caring and nurture. But this is what it says in Isaiah 49. This is what God says through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst forth into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people. The Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." And so God uses Isaiah to convey this fact that God is a compassionate God, that he is a comforting God, a nurturing God. And what image is he going to use? It goes on to verse 14, "But Zion said," that is Jerusalem, that is the people of Israel, "said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." And sometimes you might feel that way. God, you just seem AWOL. But he says this, Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she bore? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." And God says, yes, you know, can a mother forget her child? Well, even that can happen. But I'm not going to forget you. Wherever you are at today, God is not going to forsake you. God is not going to forget you. God is there with you. And oftentimes, God will use another individual, whether a mother, somebody acting in a motherly role, or somebody else that's just going to come alongside you and be there to encourage you and to comfort you and to show you God's compassion and love. God is working through these means of personal relationships to reflect these attributes, these personal attributes of his love and compassion and kindness and caring and nurturing. And so the ministry of motherhood is a great ministry, the greatest that I believe God uses to demonstrate and to reflect and to show forth his glory, to bless this earth. And God is there to bless us. He wants to bless and allow all the earth, whether there were believers or unbelievers out there, he wants to bless the earth through these callings. And especially this morning, we're focusing on the calling of mothering. We'll talk about dads too. That's next month. And that's another calling, another vocation, another means that God uses. One person wrote that Martin Luther talked often about this ministry of motherhood. He said every day for Luther could be, he would consider that a Mother's Day, because mothers are just so essential to the very fiber of society and of good government and of the church. The influence and impact is so far-reaching. A mother's touch, a mother's love is so powerful. And yet it's most powerful through a woman who opens her heart to God, allowing God to guide her and God to strengthen her and God to protect her, allowing her own ministry to become a vessel of compassion and understanding, of beauty and grace, to show forth these attributes of God. This is the ministry of mothering. It is a calling, a vocation given by God's hand to mothers, whether they acknowledge him or not, whether they have received his son or not. But how much greater are we able to reflect God's glory when we have been the recipients of the second great commission, to go into all nations making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. God gave that second great commission, and so that we can better reflect that first great commission, and that the world would know the love and tender mercies and compassion and nurturing nature of our wonderful Heavenly Father. And it's all for His glory. It's all for His glory. You see, God created us in His image, but that image is marred because of sin. And that's the brokenness that we feel even today on this glorious day of Mother's Day. We feel that brokenness. We feel that hurt. We feel that disappointment. We feel that grief. But then God says that He is working His purpose even in this time. And He sent His own Son to experience that grief, to go through that sorrow, to go through a horrible death for us. And Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, even before the creation of the world, even before you were ever thought of, those He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son." All right, does that mean I'm out of time, right? Okay. Thanks for setting that, Tom. All right. And so God is using all these things to conform us, to be more like Him. And so whether we're moms or sons or daughters or nephews or students, God wants to use all of us. And it's all the same thing. God has a ministry for each of us. Today we're lifting up the ministry of mothering. But God has a ministry, a way for each of us to serve one another, to show His attributes, to show His character, to show these qualities that we've talked about today. And the question is whether we're going to allow God to use us as His channel, as His means. Will you do that? Will you just like, "God, I'm here"? And first of all, the way to be able to do that is to, oh my.
Christine, we don't need this for the end, right?
I like to have that cross up there because that is the means that God used through His Son so that we can become conformed to His image, so that we can be His ministers, His servants, His means to bring His love into this world. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the ministry of mothering. We thank You for the wonderful work You do. And Father, no mother here is perfect. No one here has had a perfect mother. We all live in the brokenness, in the sinfulness of this world. And yet even with that, You still work through us fallen human creatures. And You still demonstrate Your love and Your compassion and Your comfort and Your nurturing. Oh Lord, would You do that in us and through us and to us? And Father, if there's anyone here today that needs to surrender their heart and life to You, that needs to experience that You are the Good Shepherd. As Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and no one is able to snatch them out of My hands." Father, if there's anyone here today that's never responded to the voice of the Good Shepherd, Father, would they do that today? By simply saying, "Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. I believe that I am a sinner and I do need a Savior. I believe that He rose from the dead so that I can have the assurance of eternal life. And I ask Him to come into my heart and into my life, to be my good shepherd, to be my shepherd, and to lead me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, to lead me beside the still waters, to restore my soul. And Lord, I want to live for Him, even as I believe He now lives in me." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.